When we started, because remember, then when they took him to BIP, mm-hmm. okay?
What's BIP?
BIP is Behavior Intervention Program.
Where was it?
That was in Arlington.
In Arlington. Mm-hmm. Oh, what school in Arlington had that?
That was an elementary school. I forget the I know the location.
And they had that program mm-hmm. in 1980 or so.
1980, yes, that's when he started.
There was a new, somebody had figured something out.
Yeah, that's where I was going to say. When you said, I found, that's when the last day, Mrs. Newman, I'll never forget that woman. I'm very grateful to her.
What's her name?
Mrs. Newman, because at that time, that's how you call, I never knew, Edna Newman.
Edna Newman.
I finally got there because she used to sign the papers. And one day I went to pick up Reggie and I was sobbing. I couldn't even talk. That's 3 years.
That it had been going on.
That's been going on.
With no solution yet.
No solution. And she said to me, "You are a good mother. You are so patient. I'm going to send an evaluation to," at that time, used to be Kennedy Memorial Hospital. Now it's St. Franciscan. It's a program that the kids live there and go to school. And she said to me, "I will send the evaluation. I'm not promising you anything, but it will be a good lead for Reggie and for you to have peace." And she sent it. Reggie was approved and went to Kennedy Memorial Hospital and stayed there for 10 months. We used to pick him up on weekends and he spent the week there.
What were they able to do?
Reggie was taught. This is then Reggie started to say words because he didn't speak at all.
Well, before we go, we jump a little fast and he didn't speak at all.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie was born everything according to prescription, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
Up to 2.5 years of age.
So up to 2.5 years, mm-hmm.
He spoke. He was normal. He spoke. You walk in his house. When he was two, you say, "My name is Sharon." He knows you. You come back tomorrow, he'll tell us Sharon is here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he could count from
almost up to 20.
To 20, he knew his alphabet.
Yeah.
Okay, he knew his alphabet. He couldn't pronounce. Everybody has a nickname. My name is Henry. He's the one who gave me the nickname of I. That nickname stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
His sister was born 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
We stalk him. Okay, to go see his sister at the hospital, and we told him, "This is your sister, Merlin." He said, "Mumu." She stuck with that nickname mm-hmm. until today. So he was talking.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking.
At the chair
Answer
language.
Telephone. We had a chair in front because Len telephone used to be on the wall in those years. So we had one in our kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and we stuck a chair. We didn't. He stuck the chair.
He pushed the chair.
Underneath of the telephone. And when the phone rings, I used to be scared. When the phone rings, he beat everybody running, grab the phone, hello, have a conversation.
He knew he was on the other end.
So he talked.
Well, again, Henry's cousin used to say we have a genius in our family.
Yeah.
He started talking at the age of 6 months old and walked when he was 9 months. Well developed. Oh, this is
over.
What a delight for 2.5 years.
And then
after our daughter was born, and stop. Everything stopped. This is not the child that we knew.
That's when I was in the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At that time, Henry left for 6 months and we went to Indiana. And when I called the pediatrician, he said, "You know, there's a sibling. This could be jealousy." But 2 years went by, 4 years went by, and he regressed to the point he was back on diapers, didn't eat, couldn't sleep. It was like a wild doll. It was a stranger in our midst.
That picture.
And then we start going. They said we start going to the Mass General EEG testing. All everything, hearing tests. At one point, they thought he lost his hearing because he didn't speak. They said Reggie could even hear a plane. Yes, that supersonic hearing type of no human being could ever imagine. It's really true. He'll be here. You could see him running to a window. There's a plane flying. Or a fly in the house. He knew. Again, another thing I used to observe when we stop at the red light, he always closes his ears. The neurologist said he could hear the click when the light switched. And we were going through all that observing, going through all the testing, Mass General, Children's Hospital.
And nobody knew anything.
No, they said they didn't know what he
had. They knew because Children's Hospital, we were told to put him into a mental institution. Okay, and it wasn't by one doctor, it was a panel of doctors.
Ten doctors.
And that's when reality strike, mm-hmm. and we say, well, you know, we're going to be Reggie's doctor. Okay, we're going to do everything. You do the medical, you need to do those short stuff, you know, things
shots.
Like that.
Pediatrician,
you know.
Yeah.
But we're going to do the rest. Matter of fact, he's
so you decided, I'm just saying it very clearly mm-hmm. for the tape recorder, when you saw that here are these great, very well-renowned experts, mm-hmm. who, 10 of them, are saying he needs a mental hospital, and you know that this can't possibly be the case, you're going to continue taking him for things like shots. But mm-hmm. basically you said to yourselves, we're going to have to be the doctors for
well,
this
when,
boy.
Well, when we say the doctors, we're not talking medically. We're talking about, because, you know, we're talking about overall, we're going to oversee some of his development. We're not going to take no from anybody, regardless who you were. If you say no for Reggie, we're going to say yes for Reggie. And we're going to find a way to make it happen. Okay? Go ahead.
This is then we decide. One of our cousins live in New York, and saw on television a doctor in Long Island.
A neurologist.
And he said, yeah, a neurologist. Mm-hmm. And he said to us, the kids that were with him act
like Reggie.
Why don't I took his number, and he gave it to us, and he said, why don't you contact him? And we did. We called Dr. Nicholson, that's his name, and we packed for a weekend, and we went to see we went to Long Island and see him, made the appointment. We walked in his office. First of all, Reggie barged in. He always ahead. He barged in. And that's how Reggie was diagnosed. He said, this child has autism. Henry and I, we looked at each other. We said, what is he talking about? And we asked him. And he gave us a brief description, not too well, not enough for us. But that was enough for us to, now, what do we do? And we taught him how to read and write on books on tape. At that time, they had the 8-track tape. That's what we used to have. And he gave us, when we went, he said he knows very well the school for the blind in Newton. He said, go there, borrow those tapes. And because that's the only thing that he likes, anything mechanical that keeps his attention. Other than that, he will not sit for a minute. And that's what we did. But when we got there, they said we need his prescription from the doctor so that we can borrow the tape. And that's how we taught Reggie how to read and write. In addition, when our daughter went to
elementary school,
we used what she did in school
to homeschool
Reggie. And this is then Reggie went to BIP after Mrs. Newman. He went to Kennedy Memorial Hospital, came home with new skills that he carries until today, a little language, and from then on until Reggie's,
Arlington High.
So wait, now I have to go back a little bit.
Yeah.
So it started, the good news started with the doctor in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You came home and you've described how you became his teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you found this woman in Arlington who sent him to the Kennedy.
Mrs. Newman.
Mrs. Newman, part of the school system in
Medford. The director of the school system in the special needs
school
in Medford.
And she
sent the evaluation. It's like from then,
Yes.
Everything touched.
And she's in the evaluation for the Kennedy School.
For the Kennedy School.
And then he went to the Kennedy School and he actually lived there for 10 months.
10 months.
On 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm. 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And they, what kinds of things did they teach him?
They teach him...
Behavior modification.
Behavior modification, language, good skill, like how to
eat, dress. Toileting.
Yeah, toileting.
All the basic.
Like a child, like a little kid, like an infant.
And what is that school called now?
Now it's St. Franciscan
Hospital.
And where
is
it? It's in Brighton, right in Cambridge
Street.
And then he came home and you continued.
You continue.
Homeschooling and?
From then, he was able to make the transition to Behavior Intervention Project, which is
in Arlington.
He was bused there.
Mm-hmm.
He was bused there, and mm-hmm. he went there for school every day.
Every day.
And was he in a class with children like himself?
Yeah, with other children, with all different disabilities.
Inclusion mm-hmm. was not...
At that
that's
time.
That's something we were fighting, because mm-hmm. that was one of the things that makes us loud voices. Inclusion was non-existent. Inclusion racially was not in existence, never mind inclusion in disability of a racial thing. The point I'm trying to say, and I said it every single day of the year, of my life, I say, I wish inclusion was there, okay? Let me explain why I said that. Behavior modification. You can change behavior, okay, by exposing the person to a behavior better than his or her.
Mm-hmm.
That's basic psychology, okay? It is. That's basic. There people are saying they're psychologists. You're doing something. You're not helping us to me, okay? I don't know what's the motivation, if there is a motivation. But I'm looking at there's an ignorance from that person, but not to give that opportunity. Why? Because Reggie went to behavior, okay? He didn't bang his hair.
Mm-hmm.
He came back, he was banging his hair.
Yeah.
Because somebody in the class was doing
yeah.
it. Okay? Mm-hmm. We had to go. Now, this is additional work for us. Mm-hmm. In between, we're going to school. We're doing everything we're supposed to do. We're working. We're
yeah.
doing everything. Nothing stopped. Oh, we're doing everything. Okay? You have to.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're learning. Okay? So, if you take that kid, you put that kid into an environment that is better than the way he or she comports himself, guarantee he's going
to
be better.
That's why he was able to excel at the Kennedy Memorial
At the Kennedy Memorial
School.
Because of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Did the Kennedy Memorial School have inclusion?
Yes.
They have
children with physical disability, but they have all other children. There's a school there, base, and plus a residential program. So all different kids go to that school.
The mentorship was mm-hmm. Excellent there.
Yeah.
So we've got two different patterns
mm-hmm.
here. At the Kennedy School, they're putting him in with children who are like him, but also children who are, quote, normal.
Normal.
And so he can be observing that kind of behavior.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that you were talking about a minute ago, Henry, is he comes back from a special ed class mm-hmm. in Arlington, I think, and he's got
behavior.
New problems. He's
yeah.
now banging his head for the first time because mm-hmm. he's copying the behavior.
Yeah, get all different
all kinds of strange little gestures, mm-hmm. things he's copying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you began fighting for inclusion, because you could see that if there isn't inclusion, then children are not ever going to be able to get better.
No.
Correct.